So anyway, this morning, as we go back into the book of Matthew, and we've been going between there and Luke, and we look at this, our Lord's Prayer, that the instructions has been given to us to teach us how to pray. And that's what the disciples' request was, and we're still learning our own selves of how we ought to pray and how that prayer was started, Our Father, and so much was indicated through that. And I hope the study has been a blessing in some way to build up our prayer life. There's been many times that, you know, my thought is that we don't want to get to the end of our days and then realize this great tool, and I use that term loosely, but this great privilege or opportunity we have to come to our Father in prayer. And we neglect that to our own weakness, to our own just the fact that we lack so much when we don't pray. And there has been many times in my life that I've had to go to the Lord, and I've even done it in this study as we've been going through it, and I said, Lord, forgive me for neglecting prayer. Because we don't want to neglect our prayer life, because it's, as Jesus gave his disciples instruction that, you know, we ought to pray and not to faint. And so prayer is given to us for our strength. It's for our communication with God. And it is just a two-way. It's not just a one-way communication. There may be those that will tell you that. But in reality, we are speaking to God. But I believe it was the preacher in Ecclesiastes that says, when he come before God, let his words be few and let him be slow to speak and quick to hear. And so often we neglect that part of our prayer, that God, let me be quick to hear. Because we are praying to a God that's not way off there in a distance, and he doesn't lead us by his Spirit. He doesn't direct us. It's not that kind of a prayer when we say that we're going to the Lord in prayer, but we're praying for God for our strength and for our leading, for our direction, as we just looked at a couple Sundays ago, just for our daily bread, and that it, with respect to not just bread per se, but that all that has been given to us and all that we need, our natural needs, because we have those, and we go to our Heavenly Father and we say, God, I pray that you give us this day our daily bread. And as we looked at last time, we looked at our past and our all of our failures and our sins that we've come through, and we say, Father, forgive us our debt that we owe. Amen. Forgive us our debt. Well, as we looked back last time, this morning, if you will, we're going to look forward somewhat and look at this sixth petition, but more, it's really our third petition for our own selves. Those first three were toward God, as we let his name be hallowed. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's so important that we recognize that forgiveness that has been given to us, and then we also give that in return. And then here we come to this last petition, and it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we end with the doxology this morning. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we're learning how to pray. Jesus Christ, our teacher here, the importance of prayer. And if you're one of those that fit into that category in your prayer life, you just neglect it. It's not part of your life. You haven't really fallen into any type of discipline in your prayer. I will invite you this morning that if you just don't wait another day, but begin to use that, begin to communicate with your Savior and go to him in prayer, because God has commanded us to pray. He's instructed us to pray, and that we find such strength in it. Amen? That if you do need to go and say, God, forgive me for neglecting prayer, then do so. And then start from there. And say, Father, help me have this discipline in my life. And God, you give me the strength, Lord, to pray. And he started this, we didn't really look at a lot of it, but as Jesus began this discussion in prayer, he really used two people, two types of people. And we'd have to back up just a little bit here in Matthew chapter number 6. And the first group he talked about in verse 5 there, he says, when thou prayest, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. So group number one, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Okay, we don't want to be like them. Those that are playing a part. Those that are pretending. Those that are just doing it to be seen of man. That's group number one. Don't be like them. For why? Because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Don't be like group number one, those hypocrites, or as Jesus would call the Pharisees here, and say, don't be like them. Don't be like the ones that are just standing out there to be seen. Now that doesn't mean that we never pray in an open setting. It's not saying that we don't pray where if someone might see us, we don't take it to that extreme. Because there's some instances that you'll have to pray, whether you're out to dinner or whatever else, and you bow your head to pray. You don't do that to be seen, but you just do that to give thanks. All right, so it's not, we don't want to take it to the extreme of saying, well, we should never pray out where anybody could see us. There's a good possibility that when Daniel opened up his windows there and began to pray, that there was a good chance that someone might see him. But that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his motivation. That wasn't why he did what he did. Am I coming through this thing at all? Because it keeps dropping on me. Am I good? I'm loud enough, I guess, where you can hear me anyway. But that's just the point, that we continue in prayer. It's from a heart to want to hear from God, a heart that wants to speak to the Lord. And so just because someone might see us, that's our point, that we're just not, that doesn't mean that's our reason. But the word hypocrite there, as we looked at before, just means an actor. We don't do it to play a part or to be seen of man or just to pretend to be pious or holy or any way or I'm better than you. We were up in D.C. this past week, and we went on the courthouse there in the Supreme Court. And as we were walking up the steps, Cheryl and I just said a little prayer. Said, Father, Lord, lead our land. God, direct our land, our laws, God, that they would be uplifting, Lord, that they would be righteously. And Cheryl even threw in, Lord, help our rulers to rule righteously, to rule rightly, to have good judgments. Amen. How many needs we need to pray for our leaders? We need to pray for our country. All right, but we don't do that to be seen. You know, we could have went out there and stood on those steps and glad hands and, you know, but then our motives may have just changed. But when we do it because we realize that, God, we need you, our leaders need you. God, and I want to dwell in a land that is that has godly laws. Amen. I want to live in a place that uplifts the sanctity of life. Amen. I want to live in a place that will... Lord, walk according to thy rules. Now, we know that in reality that we dwell in the kingdom of God in the sense that we are seated, as we said already this morning, in heavenly places. And I don't really expect the world to bring forth the answers. I know where the answer is. I don't expect the world to point me to God. His word does that. His spirit draws us. But yet we still pray, God, direct our leaders, Lord. And he says, don't be like those hypocrites. In group number two, he says this also, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. So there's group number two. He said, don't be like those hypocrites and don't be like the heathen. What do the heathen do? They just use a lot of vain repetitions. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, there's one thing there. It's not that, you know, as even the Lord's Prayer, so often we recite it, and we've already made mention of that, that it's not that we're saying, oh, don't ever repeat the same prayer. As a kid, I remember praying. We had two prayers we prayed every night. You know, we'd get together and pray, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, you know, eventually I got away from that, but as a kid I prayed that. It used to scare me to death. If I should die before I wake, I'd insert there myself while everybody else wasn't listening. Lord, I don't want to die before I wake. I just kind of slipped that in just so he knew that, you know, I really didn't want to go tonight if I didn't have to, but I did pray that. Lord, if I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. And being a good Pentecostal, I had to throw it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so then we prayed, watch and guard me through this night. I like that one too. Wake me with thy morning light. But we eventually get past that and we begin to pray on our own. And you know, as parents, you like to hear your kids do the repetitive prayer, but boy, when they get to the point where you're hearing them begin to pray, begin to demonstrate that relationship, that it's not just repetitive, but we're not saying that we're just against repetitiveness. But in this sense, the repetitive seems like it's more out of a frustration, because this repetitiveness comes because they think clearly there's no answer coming. There's no line of communication there, because they're praying to a God that is no God. And so they say, we'll just keep saying it, and eventually we may be heard. Now, what quickly comes to mind when I say that, and I thought about it, so I went and looked at it this morning and just read it a little bit over there in 1 Kings, all the way back into the Old Testament scripture. And I'll just read a few verses. You can turn with me if you want to. But here's an example of this repetitiveness. And it's when Elijah called the prophets of Baal into Mount Carmel, when King Ahab, that wicked king, and Jezebel had sought to kill Elijah and to put down his prophets. And you know how that there was this showdown there, and God was going to answer by fire. And I won't go through the whole story, because most of us are familiar with it. But if you look at it, when it came the prophets of Baal's turn to pray and to call on their God, that it says here in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 25, it says, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." It says, "And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made." So they begin to pray out to their God. They begin to call out to Baal, but no voice. No one heard. And so what did they do? They continued from morning until noon. Oh Baal, hear us. They got to the point where they even jumped upon the altar and began to yell out to their God. Well, Elijah, as many of us would do, says, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or is he pursuing, or is he in a journey, or preadventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." Maybe you need to call a little louder. Maybe your God's on a journey somewhere. Maybe he's busy talking to someone else, or he's taking a little break. He's pursuing, or he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. You wake him up. So what did they do? It says, "And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancet," or according to their custom. Apparently this was something that they had done repetitively. They would cut themselves, hoping that this sacrifice of their own blood would somehow get the attention of this God that was no God at all and could not answer. It says, "And they cut themselves as was the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied in the time of the offering of the evening sacrifices, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded." So not only was there no voice, there was no answer, there was no one there that even cared to hear them. No regard. Now, I've got to read this before we go. "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now listen to Elijah's prayer. And it came to pass, at the time of their offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things, at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt off sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Amen. Hear us, Lord. Lord, that they may know that I've done all this according to thy word. Two times he says, oh, Lord, hear me. But you know what? Probably would have been fine with just the one. But just for emphasis, oh, Lord, hear me. And God answered by fire. So when we go back to those two groups, the hypocrites and the heathen, it says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like those that are praying just to be seen. Don't be like the heathen that they think if they just keep on praying, they pray a little bit longer, they pray a little bit harder, they cut themselves, they jump up on top of the altar, man, God will hear them. Let us remember this. We don't have to go to God and say, oh, God, hear me, hear me, hear me. God hears our prayer. Amen. Amen. God hears us the first time. He hears us when we pray, and we can come to God, bring our prayer, bring our supplication to him. Oh, God, hear my prayer. And he'll move. Now, he may not move like we want him to. It may not be the answer we get, but God hears our prayer. Amen. And sometimes we're like kids and the answer is no, and we keep coming to him, and we're like those heathen that just say, well, I'll just keep on, keep on, keep on. And eventually God's going to do what I ask him to do. Amen. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like the heathen. But when you pray, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This last petition, number six here, lead us not. It's kind of a strange wording there, because when we ask God's leading, normally we say, Father, lead us. That's our prayer. Now, we do recognize that it is God that leads us, that he is the good shepherd, right? That we are his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The God is the one that leads his people. As Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So in this petition, now, what I don't want to do this morning is have this die the death of 1,000 qualifications, because there is some difficulty in this text, because we could come away with the idea that God would lead us into temptation. Now, that word temptation there, it is used in a lot of different ways. In and of itself, it's not necessarily negative or positive. It's used in different ways in Scripture. And there's a lot of debate here exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, lead us not into temptation. There's some that when we think of temptation, it is exactly what you think it is, that we're being tempted to sin. Now, the Bible does tell us there with Jesus that he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. So the temptation did not come from God, but the leading or the driving into the wilderness was of the Spirit of God. But yet we find him being tempted of the devil. And how does he respond to that temptation? It is written. Man, we can never go wrong with it is written, can we? Man, we can never go wrong with the word of God. Lord God, put your word in our heart. God, let it enter in through our mind. God, let it take root in our heart. God, let it enter in through our eyes. God, let us speak it with our mouth. But even more than that, amen, let it be in our heart, God. That heart of flesh, God, that you've taken out that old stony heart and you've put in a heart of flesh. Father, let your word be in us that we can say it is written when temptation comes our way. But and so that word also, it does mean that. It means to be tempted to do evil. It means tempted to sin. But also it's used in many places throughout Scripture, where it talks about being tempted as if a test were to be given, a temptation or a test. So a first reading of this to some degree could be confusing, but there could be nothing further from really the realm of possibilities in that our Father would lead us to sin. That's why we got to take the whole book, don't we? I mean, we can't come away from this morning and say, well, Lord, please don't lead me to sin. Don't lead me. Now, it's almost like this morning, as I was looking at some of these scriptures along with this, I don't know this for certain. It's almost like Pastor James saw some abuse of these texts, and he gives us some clarity over into the book of James, if you want to turn there, because he lays out some very specific instruction to us, and he says this. First, he says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, that we're not to take that this morning, that every time we're tempted to sin, we're supposed to get happy about it. But that's, in this instant, it does mean a testing. It means a trial. It means a hardship. I mean, those God puts us to the test. Does he not? Amen. It wouldn't take as long this morning to look in the scripture where God put people to the test. I mean, those God tried Abraham. God tested Abraham to prove what was in his heart. Abraham's a man of faith. Abraham is listed in the Hebrews, in the Hall of Faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. But yet, after so long, when God had promised to Abraham that he was in his seed, so all the nations of the earth be blessed, he gives him a son by the name of Isaac. And then God says to him one day, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, unto a place that I'll show you and offer him for a sacrifice. He did this to test him, the Bible says. So God does test us. He brings us into test. Abraham passed the test. He got up early the next morning, gathered the wood, took his son, and headed off. It got to the point where he was even, the knife was raised, and he was about to take the life of his only son that God had promised that it was in Isaac that the nations would be blessed. And the angel of the Lord stopped him, said, don't do your son any harm. Now I know. Now, that might be a troubling statement in itself, but you know why you and I this morning can read the book of Hebrews and say in a certainty, with certainty this morning, that Abraham believed God? You know how we can say that? Because he offered his only son. If it was just this nebulous thought of Abraham believed God, and then we just take Abraham at his word, Abraham, do you believe God's word is true? Yeah, I believe it. But Abraham put faith to his works. And works to his faith. He says, I believe God. Matter of fact, I believe him so much that because he told me to take my son, my only son, and to sacrifice him, I know that God's able to raise him up. And so you and I this morning, we stand up here and preach it and teach it and tell it that Abraham had faith because he demonstrated it by what he did. Now, if he'd never done that, we wouldn't have much to go on. Well, you say Abraham believes God, but I'm just not sure. I'm pretty sure because of what he did, because he was put to the test. Now, we know that God knows the heart of man. He knows everyone's heart and everyone's, that we can't fool God. He looks on our, he knows us better than we know ourselves. But there's one thing that Abraham learned that day that he probably didn't know before. Because when he got done and everything was done, he looked in the thicket and there was a ram. And he said this, he'd already told his son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And there's that ram. And it says he called that place Jehovah Jireh. Our Lord will provide. So in reality, when we're put to the test this morning, and I guarantee you, if I gave you the opportunity to speak, you could say the same thing. We learn something of God when we are put to the test. What is it that we learn? We learn He's faithful. Amen. We learn that He is a provider. Amen. We learn that when we're put to the test, when we go through a hardship, when we go through a temptation, we come away not saying, God forsook me in the midst of that. But we come to it and we say, God, You were there all the time. Amen. That You were there in spite of myself. God, You were there in my weakness. Lord, You were there when I cried. I love that in Job, when there in the first chapter, right from the start, when Job is all that's coming upon him. It said, in all that Job went through, he never once charged God falsely. Never one time. God, let that be so of us. Amen. God, if we're going through a test, never let us say, matter of fact, James says it this way. He says, let no man say, verse 13. Now, you're going through a test, rejoice. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen. Maddie told us this week she was never praying for patience again. I'm telling her off on her right now because she ain't here. She says, Ellie, I'm never praying for patience again. I said, why? She goes, because I just found out that when you pray for patience, it means trials will come. Amen. That's true. Trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, God, give me patience. Here's a trial. Oh, Lord, don't give me a trial. Just give me the patience. Well, what do we need patience? Patience is to stay under, right? Man, we got to have something to stay under if you're going to have patience. It's easy to have patience when there's nothing going on. There's no trial. There's no storm. There's nothing happening in your life. There are some times that we too can say, it was good that I was afflicted. I can honestly say that this morning. There's been times in my life when I come away from a storm or a battle, and I come away, you know what? I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. James is not really telling us to get all excited about it, but saying rejoice. I mean, I'm not crazy. I'm going to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I'm going to pray that. Jesus prayed it in the garden. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Was he not praying, I'd rather not go through this? Nevertheless, I submit to thy will. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. So there's no time when we come away from a temptation and a trial and say, well, that was, woohoo. Thank you. That was great. But we do come away saying, Father, You were faithful. Man, and I've learned something from this. I've learned that You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God that provides. Amen. There's some of you sitting right here this morning. You're going through the midst of a trial. You're going through a storm. You say, how do you know that? Are you being prophetic? No, I just know people. And there's enough of us here this morning. Ain't a lot of us. There's enough of us that I know. There's some of us sitting here right now that's going through something. And you say, why? God provides. Jehovah Jireh. He is faithful. He is our Lord, our provider. He's the one that meets all our needs. He's the one that's with us in the midst of a storm. Amen. Just continue through. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and abradeth not, and shall be given him. But remember this, James says, just in case you guys have misrepresented or have applied the words of our Lord inappropriately, and you think that when you pray, lead us not into temptation, that what your prayer is saying is, God, don't tempt me to do sin. Just in case you think that, James says this, let no man say when he is tempted. Let me make this very clear this morning. You can take one text in Scripture and build a doctrine on it and come away thinking a certain thing. But if we'll take the whole book, amen, and let the Spirit of God direct our steps, and we come away saying, let no man say this. So we can just put a stop to that right now. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. So there's our two things to remember. About the time that someone says, oh, well, God tempted me to do this. Or I'm this because God made me this way. That's never an excuse. Never. That is never an excuse for evil. What is the excuse for our evil? If you want an excuse, which is no excuse at all. But every man is tempted, James says, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Amen. I know that there's many out there today that's even sitting in churches and they're saying, I'm this way because God made me this way. That has never been an excuse. And it is an error. And James says, don't ever make that mistake. You're living in sin. You're walking in ungodliness. Don't blame God for it. It's because you've been drawn away of your own lust. You've been enticed. You've been tempted. And when that lust that you had was drew you away, it conceived. And it brought forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Don't err, because as Marion's already quoted this verse for us this morning, every good gift, and I highlighted this, I put it in a different color just so it would stick out. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Yeah. Amen. God's not going to entice you to sin. He's a good God. He's a holy God. Amen. And he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Amen. God will not change his ways. There is no shadow of it ever happening. He's not demonstrating some little flaw in his character. Amen. He is a perfect and a holy God. And he says, don't ever make the mistake of thinking if you're tempted, you're tempted of God, because God is a holy God. He cannot be tempted with sin, neither will he tempt any man. But just remember this, do not err. Don't ever make this mistake to think, but my beloved brethren, every good and perfect gift is from above. From above. God, he may test us. We learn something of him. That he is a faithful God. That he is a faithful God. Look what he tells us over back in Matthew again. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That it may seem very much like a paradox when we understand that on one hand, We were to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, and rather that be taken from a test perspective or be taken from the perspective of sin, which obviously, you know, we don't. But as I said, I don't want to make this die the death of a thousand qualifications, because sometimes we just keep on trying to qualify, and we come away and say, well, I don't know what he just said. So let me just make it simple. When you pray that prayer, and I pray this a lot, Lord, don't let me mess this up. That's simple. Because I know that my propensity to mess things up. Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. God, let me be an example of godliness, of righteousness, of holiness. God, of one, God, that not only speaks and preaches the truth, but God, that lives it out. Amen. Lord, don't ever let me give in to sin. Don't let me ever give in to temptation that might come my way. God, help me pass the test. There's a test. See, that's the thing about tests, and that's why I hated them in school, because there was either a pass or fail. All right. If a teacher got up in front of the class and says, here, we're going to take a little quiz, but it doesn't hold anything against your grade, I'd be like, look, you're great, you know. Big deal. But buddy, when she said this is going to be 50% of your grade, that's when you're like, oh, no. I need to pass this test. Well, there's a pass and there's a fail. And you and I mean, we're tried every day, aren't we? We're put to the test. Every day of our lives, we're put to the test. I've been trying to view my life sometimes when things come up before me, whether it be simple, and I'm not talking about, you know, tempted to fall in some egregious sin, but just the little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. God, help me to pass those little pop quizzes that come up every day of my life. We were playing in a ball game the other night. I shouldn't tell this because you guys come. Some of you guys come to the ball game. We were playing a ball game the night. We were playing this other team, and this team was so mouthy. They were just running their mouth, just talking. One of them got mad. Buddy, I just wanted to let him have it. What are you, crazy? You know what? I was like, Lord, help me pass the test. I know it's this little light thing. But we were shaking hands. I was like, oh, I'm so good. I'm so righteous and hope not. I knew what was in me. But God, lead me not into temptation. Lord, help me pass this test. Every day of our life, we want to pass the test. I want to be able to stand up and proclaim righteousness. I want to be able to stand up and tell the world what God's definition of what marriage is. I want to be able to tell the world that. If I've given in to sin, you know what? The world don't want to hear what I got to say. They don't hear it. I don't want to hear what you got to say. But Lord, help me to live, not just say it, but to live it. As David said it this way, the psalmist, he said this, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainty. Right before that very verse, he says it this way, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips, God. Amen. Set a watch. Can we pray that this morning? God, set a watch before our mouth, before our lips, God. Lord, let me not, incline not my heart to evil. It's really the same prayer. I mean, David praying that prayer, surely he wouldn't think that God would incline his heart to evil. But yet he prays that. Lord, incline my heart to evil. Same thing that Jesus is praying. He says, pray this way. Lead me not into temptation. Very similar. Very similar request. God, just don't let my heart be turned to evil. The Bible tells us to guard our heart, for out of it come the issues of life. God, don't let my heart get hard. Your heart can get hard in this life. Hurts and trials and hardships and people doing you wrong, and you come away with a hard heart. Pray, God, keep my heart. Lord, let me keep soft, keep pliable. Lord, let your word take root in my heart. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Set a watch. That word set a watch there is just the same idea of setting a guard that you would set over a city. You would never, back in these days, especially when there were so many armies that would come around and try to conquer, we may not see that so much now. You see it somewhat. I mean, if you go out on the beach and you sit on the beach, you're watching these jets flying up and down there. I don't think they're just doing that for their health. They're setting a watch, their garden. And so that's what we're saying, God. Lord, set a watch over our lips. Lord, incline my heart into your word and not into evil. We trust you, our trust. Lord, it's you that's under you that's able to keep, under him that's able to keep you from falling. It's not you. You'd mess this thing up in a second. But the Spirit of the living God is able to keep us. Amen? Jesus says it this way. He says, watch and pray. Told his disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're going to be tested. You're going to go through some trials in this life. You'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good comfort, for I've overcome the world. Man, he told him in another place there, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here it is. For without me, you can do no thing. Amen. Without God, without the Spirit of the living God protecting us, guarding us, you can do nothing, the Bible says. We hadn't been long studied Jesus' high priestly prayer there in John chapter 17. How did he pray it? He said, I pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. That was Christ's prayer on behalf of all his disciples, all that they were about to face, all the hardships they were going to go through. He says, I'm not praying that you pull them out of that, but you keep them through it. Amen. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's able to keep us through it, isn't he? He's able to keep us through any trial, any test, any hardship. Job says it this way, he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. Lead us not. The tests we may have to face in our world, we're confessing this morning our dependence upon our Father. That's what we're doing. When we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're saying, Father, I lean upon you. I trust you. I turn it over to you. God, I submit to thy will. God, I submit to your power, your strength. Look there in 1 Corinthians. We need to look at this before we end this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse 13, it says, well, let's back up. Wherefore, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth taketh heed lest he fall. And he says this, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Let me just take a minute here and talk to our younger people. There's no temptation taken you such as common to man. A lot of times we get this idea we're the only ones struggling with something. Oh, they don't ever struggle. They never had that happen. They never had this test. They never had that trial. That's baloney. Amen. Every problem is most of us just don't want to talk about it. But let me tell you what, God's able to keep you from falling. God's able to keep you through the test. He's able to keep you through the trial. There's nothing taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Amen. Abraham learned that God was faithful. We have learned that God is faithful through every trial, through every temptation. God has been faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. How many times have you prayed that prayer? Amen. How many times have you gone to God with that? You're under something, you're like, oh, I just can't. I just don't know that I can take this. God is faithful. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above. There's nothing going to come upon you that isn't common to man. But he will always make a way of escape. Sometimes that way of escape may be through the test. But he will be with you all the way. And when you have come forth, as Job says, I come forth as gold. Gold tried in the fire. Say, well, I don't like tests. Well, I don't blame you. None of us here really do. But God has given us the power to overcome, to keep us, deliver us from evil, he said. A deliverer. Our God is a deliverer. Keep us, Lord. Keep us on track. Don't let our foot slip. Amen. I pray that prayer a lot of times just even in studying the Word of God. I just pray, Lord, God, don't let me get off track. Don't let me get off into left field somewhere. Which way is left field? Left field's that way. Lord, don't let me get out there somewhere. Lord, help me to keep my eye single and really focus on what's priority. Don't get caught up when. And sometimes, I mean, I've Some of the stuff's appealing when you think about some of the methods that are out there today with regards to the church, and you think, oh, boy, it really seems to be working. It really seems to be pulling people. Amen? But God, help us to keep our eyes single on you. Just keep preaching Jesus. Amen? Just keep on preaching and glorifying God. Don't get so caught up in we were there the other day up in D.C. again, and they had this event. And we were out there listening, and they were singing. It was supposed to be a church group, and they were singing these songs. And I mean, the words weren't even Christian. And it's like they were drawing these people, and I was watching some of the people out there, and I was standing up on top of the Lincoln Memorial, and they're out there, and some of the people out there just dancing. I mean, it was just music to them. They didn't, just nothing. It was just, had a good beat, and the words weren't even. And I thought, what are we really accomplishing here? And I tried to step back, because I don't want to be critical, and just for the sake of being critical, because they were trying to do something. They were out there, they were doing it in the name of the Lord, but in reality, they were just playing. There's nothing about it that would draw people to the Lord. All it did was make them want to dance. And they left in the same way they come. And so, I told you, I was like, I don't want to try to be critical. I want to step back because, they are trying to make an effort to do something here. But what are they accomplishing? We need to stand up and to proclaim God's word. And, the message is the same. Repent. Right? Turn to God. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Give all. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. There's our doxology. There's our words of praise as we end this prayer. Luke doesn't record it this way, but Matthew does. He ends it with those words, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let it be so. It is so. Lord, thy kingdom. Lord, you're in control. You're sovereign. You're Lord of all. To thy be the glory. Not us, not for our glory. And forever and ever. It's never going to change, is it? He's never going to relinquish his authority. He's never going to step down from his throne. There's no shadow of turning. In him is no variableness. We just read. Neither shadow of turning. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, thank you for, God, the privilege, Lord, to come before you in prayer. And knowing, God, that you hear us, that we don't have to get caught up in vain repetitions and just thinking that we have to keep on and on and on because, Lord, you hear our cry the first time. Lord, that we can just come before, we can fall on our knees and say, our Father, God, you hear us. Because we're your child, because we are in Christ, because we are clothed in his righteousness, God, thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid, that we can come boldly into your presence. God, and it is our prayer as we've looked at this last petition, Lord, that we would not be led into temptation, God, but that you would deliver us from evil. God, help us, each one here, God, that we would walk rightly before you. God, that we not be led into temptation through our eyes, God. God, that we not be led into temptation, Lord, from the pride of life, Lord God. Lord, just seeking after things. Lord, keep us from that. Lord God, that we not be led into temptation, God, on our job, Lord. But God, you have given us the power to overcome. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you for that this morning. God, we'll just give you praise, God, for truly you are. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.